Chapter 4. All dogs found in this enclosure wouldn't pass it. Wonderful dog, valuable dog, that very. Apostrophe, singular circumstance that. Apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Will you allow me to make a note of it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, certainly, sir, certainly. 100 more anecdotes of the same animal. Fine girl, sir, to Mr. Tracy Tubman, who had been bestowing sundry anti-Pickwickian glances on a young lady by the roadside. Very. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Tubman. English girls not so fine as Spanish noble creatures. Jet hair, black eyes, lovely form, sweet creatures, beautiful. Apostrophe, you have been in Spain, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Tracy Tubman. Lived there ages. Apostrophe, many conquests, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Tubman. Conquests. Thousands. Don Bolero Fizjig Grandi, only daughter Donna Cristina, splendid creature, loved me to distraction, jealous father, high soul daughter, handsome Englishman, Donna Cristina in despair, prussic acid stomach pump in my portmanteau, operation performed, old Bolero in ecstasies, consent to our union, join hands and floods of tears, romantic story, very. Apostrophe, is the lady in England now, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Tubman, on whom the description of her charms had produced a powerful impression. Dead, sir, dead, apostrophe, said the stranger, applying to his right eye the brief remnant of a very old cambric handkerchief. Never recovered the stomach pump, undermined constitution, fell a victim. Apostrophe, and her father? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the poetic Snodgrass. Remorse and misery, apostrophe, replied the stranger. Sudden disappearance, talk of the whole city, search made everywhere without success, public fountain in the great square suddenly ceased playing, weeks elapsed, still a stoppage, workman employed to clean it, water drawn off, father-in-law discovered sticking head first in the main pipe, with a full confession in his right boot, took him out, and the fountain played away again, as well as ever. Apostrophe, will you allow me to note that little romance down, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Snodgrass, deeply affected. Certainly, sir, certainly 50 more, if you like to hear 'em. Strange life mine, rather curious history, not extraordinary, but singular. Apostrophe, in this strain, with an occasional glass of ale, by way of parenthesis, when the coach changed horses, did the stranger proceed, until they reached Rochester Bridge, by which time the notebooks, both of Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Snodgrass, were completely filled with selections from his adventures. Magnificent ruin. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Augustus Snodgrass, with all the poetic fervor that distinguished him, when they came in sight of the fine old castle. What a sight for an antiquarian. Apostrophe, apostrophe, were the very words which fell from Mr. Pickwick's mouth, as he applied his telescope to his eye. Ah! Fine place, apostrophe, said the stranger, glorious pile, frowning walls, tottering arches, dark nooks, crumbling staircases, old cathedral to earthy smell, pilgrim's feet wore away the old steps, little Saxon doors, confessionals like money takers, boxes at theaters, queer customers, those monks, popes, and lord treasurers, and all sorts of old fellows, with great red faces, and broken noses, turning up every day, buff jerkins to matchlocks, sarcophagus, fine place, old legends to strange stories. Capital, apostrophe, and the stranger continued to soliloquize until they reached the Bull Inn, in the High Street, where the coach stopped. Do you remain here, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Nathaniel Winkle. Here not I, but you'd better. Good house, nice beds, right's next house, dear, very dear, half a crown in the bill, if you look at the waiter charge you more, if you dine at a friend's than they would, if you dined in the coffee room, rum fellows, very. Apostrophe, Mr. Winkle turned to Mr. Pickwick, and murmured a few words. A whisper passed from Mr. Pickwick to Mr. Snodgrass, from Mr. Snodgrass to Mr. Tubman, and nods of assent were exchanged. Mr. Pickwick addressed the stranger. You rendered us a very important service this morning, sir, apostrophe said he. Will you allow us to offer a slight mark of our gratitude by begging the favor of your company at dinner? Apostrophe, apostrophe, great pleasure not presume to dictate, but broiled fowl and mushrooms, capital thing. What time? Apostrophe, let me see, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, referring to his watch, it is now nearly 3. Shall we say 5? Apostrophe, suit me excellently, apostrophe said the stranger, 5 precisely till then care of yourselves. Apostrophe and lifting the pinched up hat a few inches from his head, and carelessly replacing it very much on one side, the stranger, with half the brown paper parcel sticking out of his pocket, walked briskly up the yard, and turned into the high street. Evidently a traveler in many countries, and a close observer of men and things, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. I should like to see his poem, apostrophe said Mr. Snodgrass. I should like to have seen that dog, apostrophe said Mr. Winkle. Mr. Tupman said nothing, but he thought of Donna Christina, the stomach pump, and the fountain, and his eyes filled with tears. A private sitting room having been engaged, bedrooms inspected, and dinner ordered, the party walked out to view the city and adjoining neighborhood. We do not find, from a careful perusal of Mr. Pickwick's notes of the four towns, Stroud, Rochester, Chatham, and Brompton, that his impressions of their appearance differ in any material point from those of other travelers who have gone over the same ground. His general description is easily abridged. The principal productions of these towns, apostrophe says Mr. Pickwick, appear to be soldiers, sailors, Jews, chalk, shrimps, officers, and dockyard men. The commodities chiefly exposed for sale in the public streets are marine stores, hard bake, apples, flatfish, and oysters. The streets present a lively and animated appearance, occasioned chiefly by the conviviality of the military. It is truly delightful to a philanthropic mind to see these gallant men staggering along under the influence of an overflow both of animal and ardent spirits, more especially when we remember that the following them about, and jesting with them, affords a cheap and innocent amusement for the boy population. Nothing, apostrophe adds Mr. Pickwick, can exceed their good humor. It was but the day before my arrival that one of them had been most grossly insulted in the house of a publican. The barmaid had positively refused to draw him any more liquor, in return for which he had, merely in playfulness, drawn his bayonet and wounded the girl in the shoulder. And yet this fine fellow was the very first to go down to the house next morning and express his readiness to overlook the matter and forget what had occurred. The consumption of tobacco in these towns, apostrophe continues Mr. Pickwick, must be very great, and the smell which pervades the streets must be exceedingly delicious to those who are extremely fond of smoking. A superficial traveler might object to the dirt, which is their leading characteristic, but to those who view it as an indication of traffic and commercial prosperity, it is truly gratifying. Apostrophe, punctual to 5 o'clock came the stranger, and shortly afterwards the dinner. He had divested himself of his brown paper parcel, but had made no alteration in his attire, and was, if possible, more loquacious than ever. What's that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he inquired, as the waiter removed one of the covers. Soles, sir. Apostrophe, soles, ah. Capital fish all come from London stagecoach proprietors get up political dinners carriage of souls dozens of baskets cunning fellows. Glass of wine, sir. Apostrophe, with pleasure, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. And the stranger took wine, first with him, and then with Mr. Snodgrass, and then with Mr. Tubman, and then with Mr. Winkle, and then with the whole party together, almost as rapidly as he talked. Devil of a mess on the staircase, waiter, apostrophe said the stranger. Forms going up carpenters coming down lamps, glasses, harps. What's going forward? Apostrophe, ball, sir, apostrophe said the waiter. assembly, eh? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, sir, not assembly, sir. Ball for the benefit of a charity, sir. Apostrophe, many fine women in this town, do you know, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe, inquired Mr. Tubman, with great interest. Splendid capital. Kent, sir, everybody knows Kent apples, cherries, hops, and women. Glass of wine, sir. Apostrophe, with great pleasure, apostrophe, replied Mr. Tubman. The stranger filled and emptied. I should very much like to go, apostrophe, said Mr. Tubman, resuming the subject of the ball, very much. Apostrophe, tickets at the bar, sir, apostrophe, interposed the waiter, half a guinea each, sir. Apostrophe, Mr. Tubman again expressed an earnest wish to be present at the festivity, but meeting with no response in the darkened eye of Mr. Snodgrass, or the abstracted gaze of Mr. Pickwick, he applied himself with great interest to the port wine and dessert, which had just been placed on the table. The waiter withdrew, and the party were left to enjoy the cozy couple of hours succeeding dinner. Beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe, said the stranger. Bottle stands pass it round way of the sun through the buttonhole no heel tops, apostrophe, and he emptied his glass, which he had filled about 2 minutes before, and poured out another, with the air of a man who was used to it. The wine was passed, and a fresh supply ordered. The visitor talked, the Pickwickians listened. Mr. Tubman felt every moment more disposed for the ball. Mr. Pickwick's countenance glowed with an expression of universal philanthropy, and Mr. Winkle and Mr. Snodgrass fell fast asleep. They're beginning upstairs, apostrophe, said the stranger. Hear the company fiddles tuning now the harp, there they go. Apostrophe, the various sounds which found their way downstairs announced the commencement of the first quadrille. How I should like to go, apostrophe, said Mr. Tubman again. So should I, apostrophe, said the stranger. Confounded luggage, heavy smacks, nothing to go in odd, ain't it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, now general benevolence was one of the leading features of the Pickwickian theory, and no one was more remarkable for the zealous manner in which he observed so noble a principle than Mr. Tracy Tubman. The number of instances recorded on the transactions of the society, in which that excellent man referred objects of charity to the houses of other members for left-off garments or pecuniary relief, is almost incredible. I should be very happy to lend you a change of apparel for the purpose, apostrophe, said Mr. Tracy Tubman, but you are rather slim, and I am, apostrophe, rather fat. Grown-up Bacchus cut the leaves dismounted from the tub, and adopted Kersey, eh? Not double distilled, but double milled, ha, ha. Pass the wine. Apostrophe, whether Mr. Tubman was somewhat indignant at the peremptory tone in which he was desired to pass the wine which the stranger passed so quickly away, or whether he felt very properly scandalized at an influential member of the Pickwick Club being ignominiously compared to a dismounted Bacchus, is a fact not yet completely ascertained. He passed the wine, coughed twice, and looked at the stranger for several seconds with a stern intensity. As that individual, however, appeared perfectly collected, and quite calm under his searching glance, he gradually relaxed, and reverted to the subject of the ball. I was about to observe, sir, apostrophe, he said, that though my apparel would be too large, a suit of my friend Mr. Winkle's would, perhaps, fit you better. Apostrophe, the stranger took Mr. Winkle's measure with his eye, and that feature glistened with satisfaction as he said, just the thing. Apostrophe, Mr. Tubman looked round him. The wine, which had exerted its somniferous influence over Mr. Snodgrass and Mr. Winkle, had stolen upon the senses of Mr. Pickwick. That gentleman had gradually passed through the various stages which precede the lethargy produced by dinner, and its consequences. He had undergone the ordinary transitions from the height of conviviality to the depth of misery, and from the depth of misery to the height of conviviality. Like a gas lamp in the street, with the wind in the pipe, He had exhibited for a moment an unnatural brilliance eye, then sank so low as to be scarcely discernible. After a short interval, he had burst out again, to enlighten for a moment, then flickered with an uncertain, staggering sort of light, and then gone out altogether. His head was sunk upon his bosom, and perpetual snoring, with a partial choke occasionally, were the only audible indications of the great man's presence. The temptation to be present at the ball, and to form his first impressions of the beauty of the Kentish ladies, was strong upon Mr. Tubman. The temptation to take the stranger with him was equally great. He was wholly unacquainted with the place and its inhabitants, and the stranger seemed to possess as great a knowledge of both, as if he had lived there from his infancy. Mr. Winkle was asleep, and Mr. Tubman had had sufficient experience in such matters to know that the moment he awoke he would, in the ordinary course of nature, roll heavily to bed. He was undecided. "Fill your glass, and pass the wine," apostrophe said the indefatigable visitor. Mr. Tubman did as he was requested, and the additional stimulus of the last glass settled his determination. "Winkle's bedroom is inside mine," apostrophe said Mr. Tubman. "I couldn't make him understand what I wanted if I woke him now, but I know he has a dress suit in a carpet bag. And supposing you wore it to the ball, and took it off when we returned, I could replace it without troubling him at all about the matter." "Apostrophe, capital, apostrophe," said the stranger. "Famous plan, damn odd situation, 14 coats in the packing cases, and obliged to wear another man's very good notion, that very, apostrophe, Gutenberg edition." End of chapter.